You ready for the word? Let's raise our hands together and say, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this morning we receive the revelation of the written word. There is no confusion or error in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We started last week, blessed in Christ's kingdom, or blessed in Christ. Well, Matthew's Gospel 28. Are you in church? Praise the Lord. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. And so last week we began to look at that word, all authority, the word exousia. And I said to us that Jesus is teaching from where again? Ha! I thought we agreed to not use the word Old Testament. Did we agree? Or you chose it and I didn't? Okay, let's agree. Let's agree to use it carefully, because we know that the phrase Old Testament is within our knowledge of the scriptures, not a part of the Bible. So that's this very vital. But you know, sometimes some words they become accustomed. We're accustomed to them by usage, but they are not original. It's just like the word blessed, you know. The word blessed, I'm teaching about blessed, right? Okay, let me give you the etymological meaning of blessed. That means the development of the word. Now, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, or the Webster's, or the Cambridge Dictionary, you will see that usually we give you the history of how words were developed. And I think there was one that is in one of our books. Yeah, it has to be, this is our God, is wrath. Where we explored the word atonement, and we took it from the English dictionary, then we found out when it started being used for pacifying anger, but it's not scripture. Okay, so the word blessed, for example, they traced it to the Jewish culture of when blood is sprinkled in the tabernacle. Okay, then they say, oh, when the blood is sprinkled, they say, blessed. So it was originally blood blessed, or blessed by the blood. That's the original meaning of it. So, and it didn't have the connotation of, I got a house, blessed. I got a car, blessed. It's blood blessed. That's the English root of it. Which means that it was tied to the covenant. So that's why I said that sometimes words can be, you can start using words after a while by custom. And then you're used to, okay, say, oh, God bless me with a, somebody will say bouncing baby boy. I don't know what that means. Bouncing. What about the girl? Hopping baby girl. So you have all that. So, the use of Old Testament, New Testament, for example, referring to Genesis to Malachi as Old Testament, is not found, not even in the epistles. What Old Testament, or what Genesis to Malachi is called, is the Word of God. That's what it's called. It's called the Gospel. It's called the Gospel. When Paul wrote to Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, and he told them that, I delivered the gospel which I delivered unto you, which I preached unto you, which you have believed, wherein you stand, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, except you have believed in vain, how, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried and raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what he's preaching. In Acts 19:20, when you hear so many grew the word of God and prevailed, what grew and prevailed was not the epistle to Ephesus. It was Genesis to Malachi. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was there anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is Genesis to Malachi. Precisely Genesis. So we said that the use Old Testament, New Testament has nothing to do with scriptural instructions. Now, does it exist in the Bible, Old and New Testament? Oh yeah, but it's not Genesis to Malachi that's called Old Testament. No. Are there parts of Genesis to Malachi called Old Testament? Oh yes. But Genesis to Malachi is New Testament. Or the story of God's New Testament. Because the background of everything you read in the epistles is Genesis to Malachi. What they are teaching from, if you read Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians, is Genesis to Malachi. That's where they are teaching from. That's where Paul is teaching from. That's where Peter is teaching from. And that's where Jesus also taught from. In Luke 24, 25 to 27, when he was with his own disciples, Cleopas was one of them, and arguably his wife. And he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24, 25. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 26. 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. From Genesis to Malachi. In 44, he said, he came and spake unto them, saying, these are the words, the word there's logos, which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened you on the understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. So, Jesus is teaching from Genesis to Malachi. Praise the Lord. And that's important. So, when he says all authority, he's equally teaching from the Old Testament. I said it again. Even Pastor needs to renew his mind, right? I said it again. But it's from Genesis to Malachi he's teaching from. So, when he says all authority, the word exousia, in heaven and earth. And that phrase, heaven and earth, is in Genesis 1:1. Let's look at it now. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, the Hebrew has it, God began to create. It has a connotation of a work that began and continued. God began to create. And the word there, bara, and we have two anyway. We have the first word you see here in the Hebrew is what you have as bereshit or reshit, beginning. It's used for something that is the head. One is used for what is first, like a founder, and used for something that is foundational. In the beginning. Now, when you come to the epistles, Paul will write from that verse in Colossians 1:15. I believe I taught this in the last series we concluded in church, but let's go through it. Colossians 1. Paul will explore that, the meaning there. Colossians 1:15. Who, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Then he uses the word firstborn of every creature. Prototokos. Prototokos. Just like the word bereshith or reshith. The beginning of every creature. That's the word firstborn. Beginning. He doesn't stop there. Then in verse 18, he is the head of the body. Head of the body. Kephale. K-E-P-H-A-L-E. And he says, who is the beginning? The head of the body of the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. That he might have preeminence. And that's the word in Genesis 1:1. You see, Paul showed us that God is speaking about a person. Beginning is a person. the firstborn, the head. So when it says in the beginning, the word reshith or bereshith has to do with a person. God's work begins in a person. The beginning, the firstborn. That's why John says, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. The Word was with God. Every Greek scholar who studies the Greek and the Hebrew know that John 1:1 and Genesis 1:1 is explaining each other. John 1:1 explains Genesis 1:1. And John 1:1 calls that the Word. When you say the Word, it's a Greek meaning, Logos, of an idea, a plan, a project. So in the beginning, John says, that word, the word, is a person. So Genesis 1:1 was about a person. And it says that word was God. So when you have in the beginning, I taught you this last month, you just put a bracket and put the firstborn, the head of the church, the beginning of God's creation or God's new creation. So that is the person of Christ. Was heaven and earth. In the beginning, God began to create. So let's say in Christ Jesus, God began to create, or let's say recreate, heaven and earth. So, when Jesus says, all authority is given me in heaven and earth, where does my mind go to? Huh? Come on guys, where? Genesis 1:1. That means, what God intended, that Moses wrote down, is about to commence. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. And so that you will understand, what Moses, who is believed to have written this, what he says in 2, and the earth was without form and void. Come on. How many? I can't say the earth for form and void. How can I say God created heaven and earth? There's no form and void. And he uses the word tohu wabohu, which means void. Empty. Empty. Tohu wabohu. Tohu wabohu. It means nothing. Empty. Formless. So that you know it's not referring to space. He says, the darkness is upon the face of the deep. So he's referring to a spiritual identity. Darkness. Then he mentions water. Now, remember I told you that this is Moses writing to the children of Israel about God's new creation or God's redemptive plan. So when he says the earth, they understood he's talking about men without form and void. Then he describes the form without form and void as darkness, a spiritual identity. Darkness. Then he says, the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Now, when you say something is without form and void, and you don't mention water, that's contradictory, you know. But because he's talking about, he's using the imagery of a spiritual formlessness or confusion. And he says waters, which is understood to mean nations, people. Then he says in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Let there be light in the nations. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let there be light in the nations. He's not talking about the sun, moon and stars. Let there be light in the nations of the world. John will say in him was life, right? Come on. And the life was what? The light of man. Is it making sense now? Is it making sense? So Genesis 1 to 1, 1, 1 to 1, 3, 1, 4 is like a prophetic statement, a prediction for what God wants to do in the earth. And he called the light in verse 4 day, and the darkness he calls night. So when Jesus said, all authority exousia is given me in heaven and earth, he's saying this is about to come to pass. light in the nations, praise the Lord, is about to come to pass. So, which means God, in His Son, alright, commends the work of the new creation, heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, which, let me just mention that, notice in verse 1, it says heaven, earth, then in 2, He separates it. He now replaced the word heaven with the word the Spirit of God. Is that clear? The Spirit of God. So, what He wants to do is in 1, the problem is in 2, the Spirit of God moving over the nations. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And John says this, in Him was life. The life was the light of men. So therefore, pay very good attention. This is God's new creation. This is God's redemptive work in the earth. And that's why when it says, let there be light, the word ayah, H-A-Y-A-H, from the word avah, H-A-V-A-H. Now, avah is where you have Yahweh. I am that I am, and I'll be what I'll be, which is His redemptive work. I will be everything to save you. So what is He to save us? He is the Spirit. What else? He is the light. When it says light be, it's saying me be light. So here, God's new creation is being announced. The Bible doesn't start with the problem. It starts with the solution that tells us what the problem was. The solution is in chapter 1, in Luke chapter 2, and the problem is in chapter 3. He commences by giving us the problem, the solution, sorry, and what it seeks to solve. Sin in chapter 3, light in chapter 1, chapter 2, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, showing you what happened in 3. And so here we are, attempting to see this in the light of what Paul and the apostles and Jesus himself, pardon me, also taught. So in Genesis 1, we see another striking redemptive plan. Now he says in 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now observe that if this was a creation, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Let us make man. You get it? Let us make man. Which is a new creation concept. Let us make man. In our image. After our likeness. No, it's not. Let us have our likeness and image and call it man. Mm-mm. Let us make man. So which means that this comment means there was an existing mankind. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is a new creation. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, like I said last week, God's word is in human language. God's word is in human language. Say with me, God's word is in human language. Let's take it again. God's word is in human language. Now, what that means is, if, for example, I use your language, where are you from in Nigeria? You're an American? Where are you from? Huh? Benue State. Okay. If I use your language and I use what you speak, you know, from your town, or is your city you come from? You know, every language or every word used in a language has its background. It has a culture, a practice behind it. So when you say image and likeness, they are human language. So we have to ask ourselves, in which culture was that word used? It's in the culture of what you can call the Hebrew culture or the Eastern culture of their day. Now when they use image, okay, The word image oftentimes bears, listen carefully what I'm about to say, the sons of deities. The sons of deities is used in temple worship. But basically, the sons of deities. And so it also represents the sons of men. And in fact, I wrote something here. There was that culture called the Eluma Elish. E-L-U-M-A-E-L-I-S-H. Which had a lot to do with how they describe their sons. They say image and likeness. Now if you look at chapter 5 and verse 3, I'll start from 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now look at this. Adam and male and female created he them. He blessed them and called their name Adam in the day which they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. You see that? So that means that God had a project to have his own sons, even though Adam has a son which is where? In his what? Likeness. Are you seeing it? Indeed. So that's the culture. Their sons are in their likeness and their image. But God also has his own project to have in his likeness and in his image. Praise the Lord. Is it getting clear? Is it getting clear? Okay, now, so in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, the truth is, when you say seventh day, again, Moses is writing from the background, like I mentioned, of the near ancient Eastern traditions. When they use seventh day was a culture of the worship of deities. That was the culture. And since God is going to use human language to communicate spiritual realities, he'll therefore have to accommodate the way they think or they thought. And so when you have the word rest here, my idea of rest, okay, seventh day, many people think it's a Sunday, okay? But no, it's a culture of worship. Now, pay attention here. And when they say rest, carelessly, we think rest means, you know, when I say, Shaka, where are you? I say, I want to take a rest. So when I say rest, in my own view, it means I want to sleep. I don't want to work anymore, or I just want to have fun, you know, and just be cool. So we say rest. People say, well, I've entered into God's rest. Entered into God's rest. Entered into, what do you mean? I'm resting. it's like reading the English language in the Yoruba language. You know, someone say, when you get to Nigeria and somebody says, when are you coming? And then you answer back, I'm coming now. You know, the Englishman will think you mean right now. But it is not so. I'm going to say, when I come, I come. Now, you know. That's interesting. So sometimes that's the way we read the Bible. We coin it into our own words. It is the way one of my cousins when we were younger, because of the Yoruba, when you're talking to an elder, you use one sope, and one is a collective pronoun of more than one. One said. So in translating into English, he said, they said. I was talking about just one person. So my dad said, they. Is it not say, they? I guess that's what we did with the word rest. Praise the Lord. The word rest here is again a temple language. That's why, if you observe it, much later texts of scripture that describe the rest, okay, look at Psalm 132. Praise the Lord. Psalm 132. Put your hands in Exodus 20. I told you last week about community reading. Did I? Reading the scriptures together. And not just selective reading, okay? Go to Exodus 20, then Psalm 132. You learning something? Alright, now notice this in verse 9. 6 days thou shalt labor. Sorry, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep you holy. The Sabbath day to keep you holy. The word Sabbath day is not found in Genesis at all. So that means that it was a culture that was found in Egypt. Okay. So just like Moses did all the time, he used their culture like a parable to explain spiritual realities. To keep it holy. Verse 9. 6 days thou shalt labor and to do all thy work. Verse 10. But the 7 days, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in thou shalt not do any work, thou not thy son, not thy daughters, thy maidservants, or thy maidservants, not thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in it, and rested the seventh day, wherefore he blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So what's the next thing he tells you to do? Can you see it? There are things to be done. Praise the Lord. Did you see it? Did you see it? What do? You honor. You begin to walk. So rest, alright, this rest here is for worship. It's for service. Because in their culture, pay attention, rest for them is when they come and give sacrifices in the resting place of their gods. And God changes the narrative. He says, you begin to work. Walk in my word. Walk in my word towards man. So while their own rest is towards their deities, in God's rest, the work is towards man. You begin to walk towards man. So, pay attention to something here. In his rest, we begin to walk. We begin to walk. So, go to Psalm 132. Verse 7. We will go into his tabernacle. We'll worship at his footstool. At his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Arise into thy rest. The word there is menuchah. M-E-N-U-C-H-A-H. Into thy rest. Or use the word resting place. Look at verse 14. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired to for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So which means the word rest is for his temple, right? Are we together here? It's for where he dwells and he begins to work. Where he dwells and begins to work. Whilst in their own time, the servants, the people, they serve the deities. They begin to serve the deities. In God's rest, pay attention, he begins to walk in the earth through his tabernacle, through his, now today you understand, through his people, through his own house, his resting place. So God's resting place is a place of operation where he begins to work. So when you have the word, let us make man, which is another language matter, again is used in the Mesopotamian for a council of deities. And here, Moses is saying, God is going to work in, as the same person, doing different things. We'll explore that next week more. He therefore says, in Genesis 1:26, get back there, after our likeness in our image. Two words quickly. The word image is the word selem. T-S-E-L-E-M. T-S-E-L-E-M. Which you are going to see in Genesis 1:27. Genesis 5:3, we read that earlier. Genesis 9 and 6. Let me just give you other references so you check it. Numbers 33:52. Afterwards, it was now used for idols. Numbers 33:52. 1 Samuel. Numbers 33:52. For Samuel 6, verse 5 and 11. 1 Samuel 6, verse 5 and 11. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 17. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 17. Then Psalm 39, verse 6. Psalm 39, verse 6. I marked it for a purpose, so I will read it. Psalm 39, verse 6. Surely every man walks in a vain shoe. The word vain there is what you have, image. Psalm 73, verse 20. Psalm 73, verse 20. Ezekiel 7, verse 20. Ezekiel 7 verse 20. Ezekiel 16 verse 17. Ezekiel 16 verse 17. Ezekiel 23 verse 14. Ezekiel 23 verse 14. And yeah, that's fine. So that's the word image. So afterwards is now seen in the worship of idols. The worship of idols. Which means that in their world, it was used for idols and the temple. Idols and the temple. And God says, now we're going to do walking through man. That means Genesis 1:26 already shows you that God is going to become a man for the sake of redemption. We'll know that, look at that later. Then the word likeness, demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H, demuth. Again in Genesis 5, 1 and 3, it means a pattern. A pattern. So in Genesis 1:26, let us make man, alright, in our image after our likeness. Is that the heaven and earth project? Huh? Is that the heaven and earth project? Is that the redemption project? Very good. So let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then when that is done, what happens? God enters into his resting place where he begins to walk through us to honor, to love, to forgive, to heal, to reconcile. So to say, let us make, let's explore that word. Let us make. The word make is the word asah. A-S-A-H, Genesis 1:26. A-S-A-H. It means pay attention, to do, one, to prepare, to acquire, to perfect, to use, to bear, or to birth. One, to do, to produce, I didn't have that one, to prepare, to acquire, to perfect, to use, to bear, to give birth to. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this explain all that God does in salvation? Huh? Come on, talk to me. Okay, so it does explain everything in the new creation. In the new creation. It explains all he does in the new creation. Let us prepare man. Let us use man. Let us acquire man. Let us perfect, let us give birth to, let us produce in man. So this is a new creation. A man who in verse 2 is called no form and void, right? Come on. Darkness. Now God is having a new creation project. So in Psalm 132, one more time, where we were earlier, Psalm 132 and verse 8. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. So if you are told in Psalms, arise into thy rest, and there's Exodus 20, the rest, and Genesis 2:3, the word is resting place. Into your resting place. Menucha. M-E-N-U-C-H-A-H. Look at Genesis 49. Genesis 49, verse 15. And he saw that the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant in the tribute. So he says the rest was in a land here. The rest here is in a land. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. Let's read it together now. Let's go. And they depart from the mount of the Lord. 3 days journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in a 3 days journey to search out what? A resting place. A resting place. Deuteronomy 12 and 9. For as not yet has come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God gives. See the word inheritance? So the resting place, can we say, is also the promised land? Come on. The promised inheritance given to the Father. The resting place. Psalm 95 again, verse 11. Psalm 95. Verse 11. This is good. Let's start from verse 7. I want us to read together. Verse 7. Let's go. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, go on. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation, where? Which part of the Bible is this? The book of Numbers. Is it the book of Numbers? Okay, very good. So go on. When your fathers tempted me, go on, prove me, and saw my work. 10, Are we all in this service? Okay, let's take 10 together. 40 years long was I grieved with the generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, unto whom I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my resting place. Wow. Into my resting place. So, which means God's rest is the land. Is that right? Come on. The land. The land that was promised. And we have been studying this, and I believe I don't have to go back to that. Will that be a particular room, or God's eventual destination is the whole earth? Is the whole earth. Remember that? Come on, remember that. Very good. So, put your hands in Psalm 132 again. So when he says, arise and enter into your rest. What is he talking about? Is that the same thing as let the King of Glory come in? Into all the earth. Is that the same thing? Arise and enter into your rest. Look at 14. This is my rest forever, where I will dwell, for I have deserved it. Is this a room or the old earth? The old earth. Look at Isaiah 11. So we'll tie it up together shortly. Isaiah 11. Look at verse 10. Glory to God. Let's take it together. Let's go. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. Go on. We shall stand for an ensign of people, for it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be. Glory to God. So is this tied to salvation? Salvation in a room or all the earth? So, a salvation, God's resting place in the earth. Is that it? Come on. Go to Isaiah 66 verse 1. So we have looked at two things. We've seen heaven and earth. We've seen the spirit. We've seen the image. So God wants to build his temple in a room or in man. Huh? And that man will be his son, right? Are we together? Come on. Is it working? Is it making sense? Okay, is it making sense? So, rather than the gods of their day staying in a room and they paying oblation to them with sacrifices, God's sacrifice will be in our, what? Walk in his word. That's the, you know, counter narrative that you find there. Okay, let's go one more time. Isaiah 66. You in church? Isaiah 66. So you can see it's not Old Testament. Hallelujah. Can you see it's not Old Testament? It's God's word, right? Come on. Maybe Old Testament because of old language. Right? But it's the same truth of the word. Okay. Old language. Because you are young. Okay, let's go. Verse 1. Let's go. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. Come on. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? The place of my rest. So, when you have in Genesis 2, 3 and 2, Shabbat, rest, to stop. And rest in place, which means God's rest is with man, and his resting place is through man. Which means, man is God's eternal resting place in all the earth. So it is for work, it is not for sleep. That's why Jesus used the word kataposis, I believe, in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, imagine if it's what we think it is. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. So, which means what he's talking about. Come unto me, all you who have problems, marital problems, business problems, and I will give you rest. So, you see a program, I will give you rest. It is your season of rest. Put your hands on your head. I was in the program. So put your hands on your head. He said, yes. And he said, the guy says, jump up. He said, raise your right leg. I said, no, I won't do that one. I don't know what's going to happen to me behind. You just do like this and I'll clear. Do whatever miracle you want to do. Go, which one is raise my leg again? He said, amen. But again, he says, come if you labor and are heavy laden. Labor with what? Heavy laden with what? Are you a truck pusher? No. You are not. Okay, no, it's not that. It's talking about problems of life. Oh, it's true. So Jesus will solve all your problems. Have you ever taken an exam before? Has he ever solved the problem? Huh? Say, Jesus, this is your exam. Not my will, but your will be done. You see blood of Jesus in your mouth. The next statement, he says, learn of me. That's what he said. Learn. Mantano. For I am meek and humble. Follow me. So in the rest of God, there's work to be done. Hallelujah. Follow me, that's what he said. He didn't say, come, don't worry, you'll become rich tomorrow, you'll be a millionaire. That's not what he said. Learn of me, Mantano. And what did he do? He went to the cross to die. And he says, that's his rest. Or, that's how he executes his rest. Praise the Lord. So, that means Jesus' authority in Matthew 28:18 is to commence the Genesis 1 promise and plan. Is that it? Is that it? Come on, guys. Is that it? So when all authority is given to me, that means the promise is now fulfilled. Is that it? Is that it? So, in Genesis 1, 26, he says in 27 and 28, he says, and God blessed them. The word barak, it means to congratulate, to commend, to welcome. Now, look at the next words. There's work to be done in this rest. What is the work to be done? He says, he blessed them and said, notice what he said. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. And he said, no, what it means is have children, have children. How many children can you use to multiply the earth? There was a cursed man called Cain. Cain had children. Right? And they multiplied. There was a cursed man called Cain. He had children and they multiplied. In Genesis 6, what multiplied was wickedness. Esau, who was equally cursed, had children and they multiplied. So if you think it means just keep having kids, you know, and all of that. No! This is the Genesis project. Man in the likeness and what? In the image of God. The next statement should tell you what he's talking about. He says, subdue. Subdue the word kabash in the Hebrew. K-A-B-A-S-S-H. It means to trample under your foot. Kabash. So, which means that statement is a redemptive statement. You don't start something anew. And it's a new thing. And then you say, imagine if something is a brand new car. It's a brand new car. The day you bought it, then you drove it to a mechanic workshop. Help me maintain it. The guy say, oh guy, I thought you said it's tear rubber. It's not totally tear. That's not possible. So pay attention now, a new project. Or if it's about creating the heaven and the earth as we thought, there's nothing to subdue. Everything is good. Is that clear? That means to use the word subdue, which is to trample on your foot, we have something in mind. Genesis 3:15. The seed of, I put enmity between your seed and her seed, and the seed will bruise thy head. Wash. To bruise head, rush their head, bruise thy head, and also its heel be bruised. Which means, how God is going to make that happen is by this new man. To bruise. So when you read chapter 2 and 1 and 3, you will understand what needs to be subdued. Remember, the serpent was also an image. He said, on your belly you will be on the earth forever. On your belly. And it was called Soto. A speaking serpent shows you it's an image. You will crawl on your belly. So when you read that together, you know that there's subtlety. The work of sin, the work of death and the enemy in the earth, God is going to deal with it in his new creation. Hallelujah. Can we also say the work of the serpent is that darkness? Huh? Tohu wa bohu. Is it the same thing? Okay. So in God's new man, in his image and likeness, he will trample and tread upon it. Then he uses the word Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful. Then he says multiply. The word multiply, replenish, fill the earth. That word is the word male, M-A-L-A, or male, M-A-L-E. It's the same word, let me just mention that quickly for you. In Numbers 14:21, as I live, saith the Lord, the earth shall be filled with my glory. Psalm 72, verse 19. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters what? Is it making sense now? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Then he uses the word multiply. Again, multiply here in the Greek is the word rabah. R-A-B-A-H. Why does he use multiply? Because in Genesis 3:16, the sorrow of the woman and the work of the serpent had multiplied in the earth. And there will be multiplication in the seed of God. So he said that to Abraham, Genesis 17:2, Genesis 22 verse 17, it will multiply. He says, be fruitful. Again, the word parash. Be fruitful to bear fruit. Genesis 17, 6 and 20, which has to do with the seed that he promised Abraham. Have dominion. When he says to have dominion, radah, R-A-D-A-H, is without violence or death. Dominion, fruitfulness, fill the earth, replenish, without violence and without death. So Jesus is here in Matthew 28 to commence the Genesis project, the Genesis promise. It's going to be dominion without violence. Are you there? It's going to be a kingdom without force. It's going to be power without death. Rather, it's power from the resurrection from the dead. So he was given this authority from his resurrection. In the resurrection of Jesus, this promise became fulfilled. Let me see your hand if you're following this. Come on. Let me see your hand if you're following this. Is this making sense? Good. This promise is being fulfilled. Heaven and earth is coming together. Man who was dark, God, light, and the Spirit, they come together in Jesus. God in his likeness and his image in man is being fulfilled. Then work has started. Having blessed, he says, it's time to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, replenish the earth, subdue the work of the seed of the serpent. The work therefore has started. So that authority was given to him. So in his death, he acquires that right. Why? Because the seed will bruise the head of the serpent. The head of the serpent, which is the word rosh, or the word kephale in the Greek, means that what he began to do through Adam and Eve, which is death. Genesis 2:16 and 17. Jesus, therefore, will go into the throes of death, and to defeat it, he will come out alive. The throes of sin, wickedness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, and he'll overcome it and come out alive. And by what happened to Jesus, he became the beginning of that new creation. Which means a creation that will trample over the works of darkness, that will be light in the darkness, the Spirit in the earth. Are you there? The image of God amongst men, and the work just started. And in the rest of God, what's going to happen? We'll fill the earth. God is going to walk through us now. To fill the earth. To produce a counter kingdom. A counter narrative. Light as a counter narrative to darkness. The seed of God as a counter narrative to the seed of the serpent. So in John 14, you learning something? You learning something? Come on guys, you learning something? Some of you, it's been a while, you read the Old Testament. Right? John 14. When he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. He's not saying, I'm going to say, oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No. No, that's not what he's saying. The word I pray means I will require, which is by his action. By the death of Jesus, he will pray the Father. He will cause the Father to act. The death of Jesus, therefore, causes the Father to act. And he will give that same comforter, even the Holy Ghost, the Genesis 1-2 plan. So in John 17, let's see the proposal. Now, everybody who studies scriptures well know that this is what is called the erotaho. Erotaho is when we have a discussion, E-R-O-T-A-O, about something we both know. So, here's Jesus. You learning something? Are you learning something? Very good. So, can we therefore say, Genesis 1 began in the resurrection. Is that it? Is Genesis 1 the resurrection project? Huh? So, the rest of God, in Genesis 1, 2, 3, is that God building his temple in all the earth? Alright? Come on. Is his temple where he sleeps or where he walks from? Very good. Where we honor the father and mother, right? Where we love our neighbor as ourselves, or come on. Where we sacrifice, come on. Where we don't covet other people's, come on. Come on, guys. Is this getting clear to you? Very good. So, now, in John 17, Jesus tells you the result of it. John 17. I'll take it from 20. Neither I pray for these alone. Let's read it together. Let's go. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall... Okay, before we go there, I skipped something. Let's start from 1. These words make Jesus lift his eyes to heaven and said, let's go. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also be glorified. As thou hast given him power over what? Hold on. Genesis 1:26, right? Is this it? Go on now. That you should give what? To many as what? Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Look at 5. Now, Father, glorify me as you, I had with you before the world was. Does it make sense now? That's the glory. What is it? Go to verse 21. Let's take it together. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as our Father art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that you have sent me. Go on, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That what? Is that Genesis 1:26 and 28? Is it making sense? So which means that in the rest of God, work just started. Praise the Lord. Is that very clear? Work just started. Satan's dominion is removed. And now it's time to fill the earth. It's time to subdue it. It's time to multiply. It's time to multiply. So which means, when God says blessed, it means there's already the curse of Genesis 3. The blessed of Genesis 1, to dominate, to subdue, to replenish, is the counter to what had happened in Genesis 3. So which means that the blessed of God will mean the exact opposite of darkness. So, let's go back to some text we read last week and see how Jesus mentioned the word blessed. Remember, we're looking at blessed in Christ's kingdom, or the kingdom of Christ. How does Jesus mention blessed? The word blessed is the word makairos. It means happy, fortunate, or like we say in our world, lucky. And that word is in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are those who are gentle. Matthew 5:6. Who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful. Is this the dominion? Come on. In verse 9, the peacemakers. Matthew 5:10, the persecuted. Matthew 5:11, the insulted. Matthew 16:17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So the blessedness has to do with what Jesus came to do. Matthew 24:46. Hence God himself is called blessed. 1 Timothy 1:11, 1 Timothy 6:15, Titus 2:13. Has to do with the work he's carrying out in the earth. So our concept of blessed has to do with the new creation, right? Is that it? Is that it? What God intends to do in the earth. It's not material. So are we happy to be involved? Huh? Are we happy to be involved? Light in the midst of darkness. Come on. Is that it? Love when there's hate. Is that it? Sacrifice when there's selfishness. That is what it means to be blessed. To be found in God's redemptive work in the earth. And when that happens, come on now. Do we get insulted? Huh? We get abused? Do we also mourn? Yeah, we do. Do we get persecuted? Do we have the word of God revealed to us? Very good. That's the concept of being blessed. So it's a state and a status we have in Christ. So look at 1 Peter 4:14. Hope you are learning something. I didn't hear get any answer. Hope you are learning something. 1 Peter 4:14. Let's read it together. Let's go. If you be, are you there? 1 Peter 4:14. Was I fast? No. I answered my question. 1 Peter 4:14. Let's go. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, blessed, that's what happened. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and the spirit of God rest upon you. Go on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3:14. Let's take it together. But if you suffer for righteousness sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. James 1:12. Let's go. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Acts 26:2. The arrested Paul, we shared it yesterday in our study in the book of Acts. And Paul stood before, Paul is in chains, he's got all handcuffs. He's got the chains and he says, I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am happy, glory to God, because I am in this project with God. So the light that we have in the Word, Matthew 16:7, is this blessedness. Matthew 11:6. In Matthew 13:16, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that they see these things, your ears that they hear it. Say, I'm happy in the kingdom of God, in what God is doing. I am happy. Glory to God. So when we say blessed in Christ's kingdom, it means God is working his will through us. It means God is countering the work of the devil. He's subduing what Satan is doing in the earth through us. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. You following that? It means we're in the image of God, right? In the likeness of God. And that image is the person of Jesus. Now, the other word, there are two words used for bless. We said the first one is the word makairos. It means a state of happiness, a state of contentment, a state of fortune. And at no time does he refer to having material things. It involves God's work in planning the earth. The second word is the word eulogitos. There are three actually. Eulogitos. Eulogitos. There are two words there. Eu means good. Logos means to say. Eu and logos. To say. Or to say what is good. It's often used for utterances. While the word makairos is used for a status, the word hulegetes, or hulogetes, sorry, is used for to say what is good. You'll find Paul use both the verb and the noun in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessedness in Christ, in the heavenlies. So, in Mark 14, that word was used in reference to Jesus in mockery. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, or the Son of the one that we praise, the Son of the one that we worship? In Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. It means we speak well of the Lord God of Israel. Same in Romans 1:25, is used for God. Romans 9:5 is used for God. He is blessed. That means we speak well of Him. 2 Corinthians 1:3, 1 Peter 1:3, it's used for God. I'll take it again, Mark 14:61. Luke 1:68, Romans 1:25, Romans 9:5, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:3, and 11, verse 31, blessed forevermore, 1 Peter 1:3. So the verb is eulogio, E-U, where you have eulogy. So Jesus will say, bless them that curse you. That means speak well. In Matthew 5:44, in Matthew 14:19, he blessed the food. This food is good. When he says bless the food, we think what it means to bless food means, it means that to remove poison from it by prayer. Mm-mm. When you take food and bless it, it means thank God for this. That's what it means. I speak well of what God has created. Matthew 21 verse 9. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 23 19. So it's used for what is praiseworthy, what is thanksworthy. And God therefore is that best. Why do we bless God? Because he forgives our sins. Are you there? Why do we bless God? Because he gave himself for us. We bless him for that purpose. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16, the Bible says, if we bless with the Spirit, talking about giving thanks. And 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Yet, pay attention here. Paul says, we are blessed in Christ. God has blessed us. That means in Christ Jesus, God speaks well of us. What it means is, I can know today God's judgment of all I do, what it will be at the end of my life. When I look at Jesus Christ, I see what is blessed of God, what God speaks well of. And I know that because I am in his likeness and in his image, as I walk in the word, I walk in what God has spoken well of. First and foremost, God has spoken well of me. I am forgiven. I am made right. I have his spirit. I have his righteousness. I have his life. Now it's time to walk in that blessedness. Because the project is to fill the earth. Then I say, this action is blessed. If I walk in the word, and because of that, others are healed, that's blessed. Also because of that, I'm persecuted and insulted. I'm blessed. I become a servant for all. I'm blessed. I become the enemy of those who don't love God or love his son. I am still blessed. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Did you get that? Stand to your feet, give God praise. Thank you. Lift your hands. Sing in the spirit, give him praise. We continue from there next week. Was that clear to you?
Was it clear to you? Lift your hand and say, I am blessed in Christ. Say, I'm blessed in Christ. And I walk in the blessedness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise. Thank you.